back on the rule of three. Three topics, two comics. I'm doing it backwards now. 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. Over on the other side, that chuckle you hear, that's Brian Miller.
I like, you're innovating the intro. You're not screwing it up. You're innovating it.
Okay. We're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm not going to tease this one at all. We're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. So if you have not seen it, you might not want to listen to the third segment. We're going to be doing that in the third segment. So you have two wonderful segments before that. We also are going to be talking about Stephen Colbert and his controversial monologue. But the first topic, I think, on the that we have to get through before we get to the fun stuff is the health care bill that just passed the House. It was pretty amazing. It did not people did not see it coming. It the budget went through, and the next thing you know, House passes health care bill. It everyone pretty much assumed it was dead, that it was over, that nothing was going to happen. And while in typical Trump fashion, he seems to do this a lot. When all the fanfare of something else is going on, he slips something else through.
It's almost like they rammed it through like they claimed Obamacare was done.
Almost, except this is just the House. This
yes.
is not it's still only halfway through. What's interesting to me in the healthcare debate is how people have reacted to it. Is that you would think that people have actually read the bill, and I am convinced that nobody knows what's in it. That the argument, the hostility that's being felt on both sides, it has nothing to do with the bill that's passed. It's just that a bill passed. It all through the for the past 8 years almost, Republicans have been saying, well, we're going to repeal Obamacare. We're going to pull it out by the roots. So anything that the Republicans pass, people say, well, they're pulling Obamacare out by the roots. And meanwhile, the Republicans are saying, yes, this is great. This is what we wanted. This is what we had hoped for. And a lot of hostility, but it's all partisan. Because if you actually look into the bill, it's somewhat bipartisan.
Well, it's also repealing Obamacare, really.
It's actually fixing it.
Well, I would argue it's making it worse.
Well, it can't get worse than it is right now. I just
absolutely
saw that
Absolutely, it can get worse.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I saw in Iowa that the last insurer in the state of Iowa is getting ready to pack up and leave. That they're done, which means that no one will be able to get insurance in Iowa, and other states are not far behind. So yeah, it can. It's going pretty. It's not Obamacare is not going as well as people would like to think.
No, it needs definite fixes. I just don't think these are the right fixes. But you are very much right that it's not both on depending on it's a, you could find a way to complain about it from either side, I think, because it isn't a repeal for sure.
Right.
And there's also right. things that people are complaining about it that I will freely admit there's misinformation going around.
Yeah. The biggest one is that rape is a pre-existing condition.
Yes, which I will concede, by the way, that I fell for, because that was something that was getting repeated by like I literally read that and thought, oh, come on. And then I Googled it and I found a couple of things, and it was like, oh, okay. Because I could see how it obviously it was like, well, it's obviously not written into the language that's true. But if all the potential side of subsequent conditions of an act are considered pre-existing conditions, then de facto that act is a pre-existing condition. But that's not even really how it is. I mean, that was definitely misinformation. And in fairness, I retweeted the caveat, or the mea culpa, I should say, as soon as I saw it. I was very annoyed to have fallen for that. It's already such a hard debate to have, and when you start putting in, when you can't trust news, even when you know that you are trying really hard to avoid fake news, it's just very frustrating.
It's my opinion has been for a while that if you want to learn the truth, you got to go to both extremes, and then split the difference. is that you go wait you know you read Mother Jones and Breitbart, and then compromise between the two, and you're gonna be pretty close to the truth.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty reasonable thing. I mean, and I kind of get that from doing the radio show a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, and I follow on Twitter. I follow Mike Murphy and David Frum, and you know, like there's definitely some righties that I definitely want their input.
Oh, I have never accused you of being anything I don't know that moderate's the word, but word fair just seems kind of bland.
Yeah, so well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right there to fit in. But balanced is sounds that's kind of got a foxy sort of
yeah, they
twist to it. So, I don't know what to say, but no, I've known that you do take your history as a journalist rather seriously.
Yeah, well, also and it's
that
I don't
do, that you do delve into stuff more than most people.
I don't want to be I don't mind being wrong about stuff because my ego isn't tied up into having the correct opinion about a news event. You know what I mean? So if I find out I'm wrong, it's not like a big internalized, oh, no, I'm an idiot. It's just like, oh, huh, missed that one. It's like, you're not going to get them all. But I think some people, news junkies types and political types conflate their identity with their opinions.
Sure.
And so then it becomes this intractable personal battle where to admit you're wrong is to admit that the other person is like better than you or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand that, but that fully. I for me the big sticking point is the pre-existing condition, and that for most people is the hill that's going to be battled over constantly. Because the thing is, once you allow pre-existing conditions, it no longer becomes insurance. It becomes another creature. I don't know what you would call it. Some would go so far as to calling it a welfare once you allow pre-existing condition. But it certainly is an insurance. I mean, you cannot get auto insurance as the car is on the back of the tow truck.
Yeah, but no, I actually
tried that once, by the way.
Here's the thing, and I think... You're conflating different kinds of pre-existing. You're saying that somebody isn't going to get health care until they get cancer. The problem with the pre-existing conditions as they existed before is that somebody who had health insurance for a long time, got cancer, got over it, then couldn't get health care because at one point in time they had cancer.
Right. And the way the law has been since 1993 with the passage of HIPAA is that if you have continuous insurance, that you can't be thrown off.
Yeah, so then you have a boot on your neck, and you can never leave your job. And if you get fired, you get totally screwed. This is how people fall through the cracks who are doing everything right.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, no. I understand.
No, no, no. I think that is.
But cancer sucks. I mean,
yeah, but that's
really
that
does.
Is absolutely not an appropriate. I mean, that is not an effective or enough response to that. That this is a serious issue. We have Americans who work hard, who pay into the system, who do everything they can, and then by they have two misfortunes. They get cancer, which they didn't do. You know, chances are didn't do anything to you know acquire, especially if they're younger. Yeah, right. And then they have a second misfortune, which maybe 5 years later, their company moves to Mexico because of our crappy trade policies, and they're out of insurance for too long, and now they can't get it back. So, and then those people are ruined.
Sure, sure. In that case, yes, that is a very isolated.
No, it is not an isolated case. It defines people's lives. My wife, my wife's life will be defined by her job as long as pre-existing conditions exist. Because if she loses her health insurance and we aren't able to take care of it in the amount of time that she's able to get another job with that, that will literally define every single choice that we make in our lives.
Yeah. But once you have a pre-existing condition, it does define. I you know,
it shouldn't
I'm sorry.
Define your life financially that way. That's completely absurd. That's like that we're literally double penalizing people who got cancer. It's insane. And by the way, it's not just people who got cancer.
We're not We're not penalizing them.
The system is basically saying that if you got cancer once, then you can never change jobs. You can never. No, that's absolutely absurd.
But there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff you can't do. I mean, you can't. You're not gonna silence the screaming of the lambs.
What does that mean?
Meaning you can't correct everything with government. Meaning that yes, it's unfortunate. It's terrible. It's a horrible disease.
Our system is so bad.
It's gonna change your life forever.
Having cancer once already changes your life in so many fundamental ways. We want to have a system that piles financial misfortune on top of that. That is inhumane. And in the wealthiest country in the world, it is a damn shame that we would even consider it.
And I wish I had a rebuttal to that, but we're out of time.
And on the second segment of Rule of Three, there is a hot topic in comedy right now. I guess it's kind of dying down a little bit, maybe, but. Stephen Colbert made a joke.
Is it hotter than the healthcare debate? Weirdly,
it was for like 5 minutes, which I thought was insane because it's about a joke.
We're also going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get that spoilers. Up front here. So,
yes,
yeah, there might be some spoilers. We're going to try to avoid them, but some are inevitable.
And also, I will spoil the Colbert joke because I'll tell it. I'll bleep it. Because it is a bleepable joke, that is for sure.
Sort of.
He made a joke about Trump, and it was a series of sort of puns and jokes about Trump being beholden to Vladimir Putin. And at the very end, he said, "The only thing that Trump's mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's blank holster," and he used a term that can refer both to a chicken and to a fella.
Or a pistol.
Or, I suppose, it's what you do to a gun if you want to shoot someone with it. And so it's interesting. So there was two versions of fake outrage. That was what was interesting. It was fake outrage from both dual fronts. They flanked him. People on the right pretended that they were offended by the language after they voted for Donald Trump, which is hilarious. And people on the left pretended that they were offended because it was homophobic, which it wasn't, and which I can prove on scratch paper.
Well, is there really outrage on the left that it was homophobic?
I thought, or was it right wingers pretending to think it was homophobic? I don't know. I feel like I saw some lefties who said it was homophobic. I'm pretty sure.
Huh. Because that to me seemed more like it was righties baiting the left.
Maybe
it's like that's what that seemed like to me, is that people were saying, well, how come you're not offended about this? How come you're not, you know, how come this isn't this homophobia? You're saying it like there's something wrong with
it. But he's not. I'm going to break this joke down into simple joke logic, right? So just for the listeners, just really quick. If you were to call someone a blank sucker as an insult, that is homophobic a bit, in that you are saying that to do that must be a bad thing because I'm insulting you and I'm saying that this is what you do, right? Right. However, the Colbert's joke is saying that he wants to please Vladimir Putin. And so in his efforts to please Vladimir Putin, he's doing something that is very pleasurable. The whole point is that the act is quite pleasurable, and it doesn't even gender the act. It just I think if he was talking about Trump, pleasuring Angela Merkel or something like that, I mean, you have to change the language a little bit. But it wouldn't be a critique of the act itself. You know,
somewhat.
But the other thing is also, and it's bonus points too, because Putin and Trump are sort of the most notorious notoriously homophobic leaders on the main world stage, especially Putin. And it's always super funny to call homophobic people gay. It makes him so mad, and it's funny every single time.
Right. Which I agree with that, but that does sort of indicate that it is that the crux of the joke is homophobia. is that it's a joke that would make them both really uncomfortable, and that's part of the reason why it was so funny.
I would argue that it's not that the crux of the joke is homophobic, but if you are homophobic, that would drive you, would bother you. If somebody made that joke about me, it wouldn't bother me because I'm not homophobic. You know what I mean? I still say the sexual act in question is presented.
I don't know if you were in full Kentucky mode, if mm-hmm. you and someone said you had a pretty mouth, you might not say that's a funny joke there.
Let me tell you that you might
kind of take that as you know. A little personal.
Well, let me tell you that a few Southern gentlemen have said that to me in my day, but they meant it.
For me, I'm really upset that people that it bothers people, because I kind of understand why it does. And I think a lot of the reason is that there was such a gag order on making fun of the president for the past 8 years that now that it's okay again to make fun of the president, a lot of people on the right are like, well, no, we're gonna make you live under the same rules that we were forced to live under for 8 years. And even though I understand the frustration in that, I totally don't agree with it. The right is supposed to be the people on the side of the Bill of Rights. It's supposed to be on the side of free speech and denouncing, you know, people that try to shut down what they call hate speech. And it just makes you when you complain about it, it makes you big hypocrites.
It's fundamentally inconsistent, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. It's complaining to the FCC. No, I'm sorry. the right that I imagine is the right that thinks that there shouldn't be an FCC, that you shouldn't allow to have a ministry of truth that is allowed to take stuff and throw it down the memory hole. It's the right that I imagine is supposed to be in favor of abolishing the Federal Communications Commission, not encouraging it to go after someone that is only doing better from this. I mean a lot of people didn't really enjoy Colbert's takeover of Letterman show, but now they're saying, oh, I might tune in. I found that monologue quite amusing, and for me it was amusing. It was a really nice structure. The idea of showing Donald Trump the Tiffany way. I thought that was a hilarious reference that didn't get enough credit there. And out of the rant, there were actually two lines that I thought were hilarious in the rant. Number one, it attracts more skinheads than free Rogaine. Mm-hmm. I thought was really funny, and more people marching against you than cancer.
Yeah, that was a really good line.
those two. The rest of it was kind of you know, grade school, but it was supposed to be.
There was one thing about this whole thing that did genuinely surprise me. I was surprised they just didn't bleep the C word. You know what I mean? Just as a guy who's watched enough late night TV and seen enough stuff get bleeped and heard enough rap songs get bleeped to know what usually gets bleeped.
It didn't get bleeped?
No, I was told it didn't.
The version I watched did get bleeped.
The only version I've been able to find was bleeped.
Yeah, I don't think.
But I was told it was not bleeped on the air.
Huh.
I don't know how the FCC. The FCC. I don't believe. Can even investigate Colbert if he doesn't say the word. If they bleep the word, because they have bleeped
No. They can investigate if they get enough complaints about something. Yeah, they can investigate anything. Basically, what they do is they just stations have a tape recorder running in the basement that records everything that goes over the air. Which again, that's really not supposed to exist in a free country. You're not supposed to be able to have that demand that, no, you have to record everything you say, and we are supposed to be able to make you rewind it and play it for us if we ask you, because we want to know what you're saying over our, but anyway, that's what they have. So that's basically what the FCC is going to do. They're going to spend a lot of resources probably going to every CBS affiliate and see if there was any station that didn't bleep it.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I'd be interested to hear if any listener or whatever, has an unbleeped version that they found from their TV or anything. When I was first told the story, it was the day after that on another radio show, and I was told it was not bleeped, which did really surprise me. Just like I said, I don't care, but it surprised me.
And it should be no surprise that we're out of time here. I gotta see a bad move for a month and a half. I gotta see a bad move for a month and a half. See a bad move for a month and a half. I gotta see a bad move for a month and a half. I gotta see a bad move for a month and a half. I gotta see a bad move for a month and a half. I gotta see a bad move for a month and a half. I gotta see a bad move for a month and a half. And on the final segment of the Rule of Three, I finally made it out to see Guardians of the Galaxy last night. I know that you were probably in your Rocket Raccoon costume there on the midnight showing of both films, when they ran back to back in select theaters on Thursday night. But myself, I waited until Monday because I knew that nobody does anything on Monday.
I did Sunday afternoon for the same reason.
Ah, okay. It's the nice thing. It's the nice thing about being a comic is that we get our weekends are we get the whole world to ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, the reason I saw it Sunday is normally I would see it on Friday, and I just had a lot of work. But I was willing to go see it Friday at noon or one when it's fairly empty. But once it got to be like 4 o'clock and school was out, I was like, nah, I'll wait.
So I know you liked the picture.
Yes,
you
I did.
You had told me that in the pre-show, or when we were talking about it a couple
days
ago.
I thought you would like it, put it that way. Was I correct?
Yeah, I did like it. I did like it. I went in fully prepared not to like it. Is because a sequel is never as good as very few sequels. I think Fast and Furious 2 was better than Fast and Furious 1.
Fast and Furious 2 is terrible, but they get good at 5.
That's right, okay.
They start getting good at 5. 5 and 7 are probably the pinnacles of the series, and 8 and 6.
It's what a blessed production team that is to get five do-overs before you nail it.
How can they not be good at that point if you think about it?
Oh, so yeah, Tim Tebow didn't get that many do-overs.
Robert Durst didn't get that many do-overs.
So I enjoyed the film. It did. I agreed. Some critics that I read said it got a little tedious in the middle. I think I sense that myself.
Definitely a little long, didn't you think?
Yeah. It could have been a little editing, but it probably didn't have to explain it as thoroughly as they did. There were things that, but perhaps that was to make sense for the kiddies. I guess. Beginning to end, lots of laughs. People told me that Baby Groot was annoying. Not once did it annoy me.
It was really funny. I liked it the whole time.
It's in the post credits clips. They have Groot as a teenager, and I do not think I'm going to enjoy Groot as a teenager.
Oh, I think they're going to skip over that entirely.
I should.
No, the next movie is supposed to take place 4 years after this one.
Yeah, but it's but it's not. Yeah, which would. So what? It's going to be toddler Groot? I don't know.
No, I think he'll be like full grown by then. I think they're going to get back to the big Vin Diesel voice.
Huh. Huh.
Because well, he's a plant. I mean, it's not like it takes him 20. I mean, they no, can just a, say, you know, they don't have to say.
He's a tree. He's a tree. He's supposed to be ancient. I mean, that was the, that was, he was supposed to be, my impression in one, he was supposed to be hundreds of years old.
Yeah. I mean, it's sci-fi. I but mark my words, it's back to regular Vin Diesel voice for Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
yeah, you're probably right. I of course went. Did you go for the full thing? Did you go for the full 3D IMAX or did you,
I did not. I rarely watch movies in 3D, especially if they're live action. They tend to give me a headache.
Huh. It's for me. That's the only reason why I go, is because.
That's why they do so many movies in 3D. Because you're more people agree with you than me. That's for sure.
Actually, I heard that that it's not. It doesn't seem that way. Is that production of home TV 3D TVs is stopping. It is going the way of the plasma screen. Yeah, it's home 3D did not catch on. And I don't know that that's it's because of the technology wasn't able, you know, that you had to wear heavy glasses or that people don't watch movies at home like they do in the theater. But you know, for me, I would hate to see 3D disappear. I think it's I think it's wonderful. I think it's and with the IMAX, it just, you know, just the full, you know, it was spectacular. The visuals in the film could not were incomparable. It looked like I don't know how to put this in words. It looked like they were using miniatures. It's the actual the screen behind where with the action just really small. It looked
Sure.
a lot of it looked like it was a like almost, you know, it probably because it was.
Yeah.
But it just you just found yourself focusing rather than on the big picture. You found yourself focusing on just parts of the screen, and the rest of it just became background. The first fight scene was incredible, where you couldn't stop, where there was incredible action going on in the background, but all you can focus on is Groot dancing.
Yeah, that was a really, really clever sequence. I really like that. I think you just described why 3D is not going anywhere. I think 3D is going to become the ace in the hole for theaters. It's going to be, hey, when you watch this at home, because I don't think people want to watch 3D at home as much, because you watch a movie differently at home. You're talking to your lady, maybe you got your cell phone out occasionally, you're checking your email, you're getting up to go refill the red wine, and it's kind of a pain to keep putting the 3D glasses on and off, and, you know, it's just sort of weird to be sitting in your house doing that when you're trying to do these kind of other things. But when you're in a theater, you're totally focused, and so then the 3D is part of that immersive experience. So that's what theaters can keep giving people that they kind of can't get at home. Also, because even if you have a really big TV, the immersion of the 3D is so much more significant with a giant screen.
No, that's true. That is true. I actually think that there is possibly a because there was a thing. I don't know if you remember these, young Brian, but there was this thing called the midnight movie.
Oh, and yeah. They still do midnight movies at the theater by my house.
Do they?
They'll do like Jurassic Park or Repo Man or Eraserhead, you know. I mean, Fight Club, you know, they do cult movies.
Yeah, but midnight. it was in the day, it was all over. It was every theater had a midnight movie series. And the reason what ruined that is VCRs.
Oh, sure.
Because because in the day before a VCR, you couldn't say, "Ooh, I want to watch Harold and Maude again." That was not available in those days. So what they would do is they would run these films as the midnight movie. That's where Rocky Horror was big. Harold and Maude was something that was always run. There's probably a couple other ones that I can't think of offhand. Yellow Submarine, perhaps.
David Lynch movies. You know, all of those.
Right.
Pretty much.
Right. A lot of them were movies that went well with pot. But here's my opinion, is that there's this whole catalog of 3D movies that you really can't see, like you said, at home, that you can't watch at home, that I think if they did midnight 3D movies, I think that's something that there are 3D movies that people will say, oh, I watched it on DVD and I'm so upset that I didn't get to see it when it was in 3D.
Sure.
It's you know, plus there's classics like House of Wax with Vincent Price. There's one scene where the guy does the paddle boards. And it makes no sense when you're watching it on TV, but when you know that, when you learn that it was a 3D movie, it suddenly makes sense why they did that. There's I think we talked about this before, didn't we? Mm.
Maybe. You can always tell when it was an old 3D movie because somebody like randomly like, look over there, and they like point out of the screen. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's the scene that you probably recognize right away in Guardians of the Galaxy was the rainbow bubble pops.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking like, oh, yeah, that's a nice 3D move.
You saw that and went, okay, that's for the people two theaters down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can spot that stuff. But I will say one thing that, like, and I'm just not a big fan of 3D, and I get why people like it, and occasionally I do like it. But, you know, a movie like Guardians, to me, those visuals were so cool anyway. Like, I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people overly credit the 3D for stuff that's like, no, those are just really amazing visuals that are in ways enhanced with 3D for sure. But you've got to have something cool to start with.
And I wish I could enhance this segment a little bit more, but we are out of time. That's it. Please subscribe to the podcast if you liked it. Make your friends subscribe to it if you didn't. You can get all the episodes on iTunes, timslegel.com.
Oh, and Real Brian Miller on Twitter and BrianMillerComedy.com.
And we'll see you next week.